First Baptist Church of Redmond, September 12th, 2010. This is the place.
Would you all please rise? Today we'll be reading from Romans 3, 21 through 23. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thank you.
I appreciate your patience because, Russ, I put some of the wrong verses up there for you to read. So that's why everybody stuttered for a minute. So I need forgiveness, too. Thank you very much. All have sinned. The preacher has made a mistake and put the wrong things up there for them to read. Thank you very much. This is the place. That's what our title of our message is today. This is the place. What are we talking about? Well, let's talk about these verses. And you'll notice as we look at some of these verses, I have a word in a different color. It's a word that you don't see very often. When we talk about the Bible, we talk about salvation, we talk about God, this is a word that you're going to encounter somewhere. I'm going to read more of the Bible as Russ has read, but I'm reading these things to lead up to this last term and talk about what is the deal, what's going on, how does God save us, and why do we even take the time to talk about this? Romans chapter 3, remember the previous sections, Paul has been telling us how all of us need more, something outside of ourselves, if we're going to please God. Left among our own selves, we don't please God. As a matter of fact, we don't even have an idea of really what God is wanting, because we want to do things, but God says what we do is not enough, because He has already done what is necessary. So Romans 3 tells us, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God who through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And here's where we want to look. Whom God sent forth, Jesus, whom God sent forth as a, and here's our word, propitiation. We don't use that word very often. Propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. We say that God has saved us by faith. And we wonder, how in the world does this work? How does God save us by faith? Let's talk about this term. It's unusual. It's different. It can be misunderstood. So today we're going to try to illustrate it in an unusual kind of way, but a way that actually exactly tells what it means. When we see this word propitiation, there's a similar term to what we have here in Romans chapter 3 that's translated that way in 1 John 2:2 and 4:10. The word is a kind of a similar idea. The original language word here in Romans 3:23, and here's what we want to look at, is only used here and in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25. So when God directed people who were writing the Bible to talk to us about this thing that Jesus did for us, it says that Jesus, through God's direction, did this unique thing for us so that we could go to heaven with Him. The two times in the Bible that we use this term that are really very similar to each other are here and in Hebrews chapter 9. But interestingly enough, in Hebrews chapter 9, the same word is translated mercy seat. How in the world does that happen? Why would that be? Forgive me, let me illustrate this odd concept. Forgive me some foolishness, but there's a reason why this word is seen in two ways, and then, oh, you'll understand. If you follow sports, you might have heard of Jeff Nelson. When I think of Jeff Nelson, I think of him like that. There he was in 2008. He used to be a pitcher for the Yankees. There he is in 2008. He and some other retired athletes went over to Iraq, to Afghanistan, and signed some balls if they were baseball players, signed some cards if they were other. Some athletes went over and made some contact. You probably like to remember him more this way. He played for the Mariners. Yes, he was. So why are we talking about Jeff Nelson? Well, because of this. Several years ago when he was playing baseball, he injured his elbow. Pitchers are always hurting, breaking, tearing something. He injured his elbow. Part of his injury caused some bone fragments to become loose. And you can't pitch if you have bone fragments loose in your elbow. So he went in, the doctors operated, and, you know, like so often with kids, they say, do you want it back? And he said, sure. So the doctor gave him his bone fragments in a cup. So he went back in after the surgery was over, began to do therapy, and began to talk to other people who were on the baseball team here in Seattle, this happened in Seattle, and in the media. And the local media were joking with him because a few years ago there was this strange tendency that athletes were having. There was one man who was a baseball player who chewed some gum in a ball game, spit it out, put it in a container, sold it on eBay. Actually, didn't sell it on eBay. He sold it on his own personal website, $10,000 for charity. Another baseball player who has one of these goatee things went to the barber, got trimmed, put his trimmings in an envelope, and sold it on his personal website. He only got $75. So people were joking with him, you want to sell your chips. So they tease, well, what could I do? I could donate it. I could donate it to a cause. So he put that container with his bone fragments. He did put them on eBay. The bidding started at $250. And let me tell you where it ended. Because I've got this written down. The bidding started at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's when it ended. The bidding started at 2:30 p.m. with $250. Within an hour, at 3:30 p.m., there were 68 bids in the item. The item's bid was up to $12,000. By 3:45 p.m., 109 bids had been made. The price reached $17,500. eBay stopped the bidding at 4 p.m. when the bidding hit $23,600. eBay stopped it because they don't allow the listing of body parts for sale on their website. And once they have people that watch their website, and says, once people on the customer support team noticed it, they closed the auction. The item was removed by eBay. You know, Nelson thinks, well, what do I do now? What's the point of this? A lot of people have fans. If you were a kid, I mean, I still have a few baseball cards. I've never got many, but I have a baseball card. Maybe you have a uniform of a player that you like. Maybe you have an autographed ball. When we lived in California one day, when the boys were little, we drove over to Oakland. We watched a baseball game, and there weren't that many people there watching Oakland play baseball at that time. So we hung around the exit where the players went out. And I'll never forget, we stood there, myself, our kids, one other little kid was with us, and we had our program. And you ever heard of Mike Oquist? I can't believe you would have. But Oquist will live in my mind because he stopped his car. We said, could you autograph my kids? And he rolled his window down, reached his hand out, gave him a pen, and Mike Oquist signed their little paper, put it back, and it's in my office somewhere in those magazines I have. So, you know, who is he? I don't know, but he's an athlete. How about that? We got an autograph. The Jeff Nelson thing was just for fun, but he wanted to raise money. And, you know, what will people do? What will people give money for? You know, if you go to any doctor, you know, doctors, they operate all the time. Most of the things they get, they have to dispose of. Why were his special? Because they were his. They were connected to him. He would have his picture with it. Certificate of, yeah, this came from me. My doctor will sign a paper. And you can have this. When we think about what it means to have propitiation, when we think of what this term has the idea of, this word as a verb in the Bible is translated Luke 18:13 as God be merciful to me, a sinner. In Hebrews 2:17, it's translated as making reconciliation. The root idea of this term in Hebrews chapter 9, the top of the Ark of the Covenant, that's called the mercy seat where the angels are. That was the lid of the ark, and that is where the animal blood was sprinkled on the Day of Atonement as a sacrifice for sin. In the New Testament, the reason why this is something that God talks to us about is Jesus, our God, God, sacrificed himself on the cross to pay the cost of our sin. It was the person of Jesus that gave that blood its great value. You know, anytime when we cut ourselves, ouch, I'm bleeding. Especially with my children. They're outside, they're playing, they scratch themselves. But if one of them, particularly my two younger ones, if they hit a rock or something and they come in, Dad, there's blood. That takes immediate care. Washing, cleaning, bandaging. Don't put the medicine on it. It's going to hurt. I'll clean it later. You know, those kinds of things. But the blood gets attention. But when we think of Jesus Christ giving his life for us, in some way, forgive me, blood is blood. But what made it significant was the combination of the giver, the unique Son of God, Jesus Christ, God as the Father is God, yet living among us as a human being, and what he gave. The life-giving blood. You can't live long without blood. If you lose some blood, you'll get lightheaded. If you have surgery, you may need a transfusion. If you have a problem with your blood, the doctors get right on top of it. You know, leukemia can be a serious, serious disease. They'll address the marrow so that more blood can be created that would be cancer-free. But when we think of what Jesus did for us, propitiation, the combination of the person who made the gift. Who was that? Jesus, the Son of God. God has a gift to give you that is so important that without it, you cannot live with him in heaven. What is that gift? Jesus gave his blood, the blood of his sacrifice on the cross. And the combination of those two things together is what makes the death of Christ, shedding of his blood, so significant for us. Had Jesus ever cut himself before? Bible doesn't say. I can't imagine, though, that someone working very hard as a carpenter. Carpenters were also stonemasons. They weren't just woodworkers, but they were also stoneworkers. Very possibly, you know, someone helping Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry, Pop, I dropped that. Very possible Jesus had cut himself. Was that the first time he'd ever bled? I don't think so. But here on the cross, as he gave what we need to live, as God indicates to us, the sacrifice that he requires to take care of sin is blood. But the Bible tells us it wasn't possible in the book of Hebrews, the blood of bulls, goats, calves, those aren't efficacious. Those don't make a difference for taking care of our eternal relationship with God, of taking care of our sins. But because it was Jesus, that one individual, that one person who died, who shed his life-giving blood, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God. It was that unique combination that made him the person who could give us the gift that no one else could. That combination made him the only sacrifice for our sins. So when we think of propitiation, he is the propitiation of our sins. It's the person, the place. Because instead of the top of the ark being the place, his body was also the place of sacrifice. And what he gave, his blood on the cross, is what God requires to give forgiveness of sins. All the sacrifices before that looked forward to that event. The blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, he was propitious. He was the only one who could give what was required for us. So when we look at those verses again, Romans chapter 3, talking about in Jesus Christ, verse 25, whom God set forth as a unique giver of a unique gift. And it tells us what that gift was: by his blood, through faith. And by the way, what is faith? When we think about blood, blood is blood. The place of sacrifice, the sacrifice of self. Jesus paid the penalty so God can legally change us. We owe nothing. And as we live by faith, what we're saying is we take what Christ offers. Jesus did the work. You know, we boast in God, not in ourselves. You turn yourself completely over to Christ. Jesus holds the keys. We're better off when we just follow. And our response to him is faith. Faith is the method, the way that we receive God's gifts. Just saying faith, I believe. What do you believe in? What you believe in has the value. You could believe in the wrong thing and your faith has no value. But believing in the right person, Jesus Christ, is the method of receiving God's gifts. So when we talk about saving faith, we're believing, we're trusting, but we're trusting in the right person. The person of Jesus Christ. What has he done? He died for us. Why is that a big deal? No one else who's ever died has a death as significant as God's eyes as the death of Christ. God came to this earth, the person of Jesus Christ, and because he was God and he gave his life for us, that event on the cross is the life-changing event of history. What will make a difference? Losing weight makes a difference? Yes. Getting up in the morning makes a difference? Yes. Being responsible makes a difference. What's the greatest difference that can be made in your life? Trusting Jesus as your Savior, because once you trust Christ as your Savior, you now have what Romans talks about as the power of God. Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the power of God. Because trusting Christ as your Savior unleashes the Holy Spirit in your life, who can guide you, give you peace, direct you to God's wisdom, bring God's words to mind, give you strength to do beyond what you could normally do. We talk about metaphysical power, the power beyond the physical and the spiritual realm. So before you get excited and try to levitate things, realize the Bible seems to indicate the greatest way God's power is at effect in our lives is as God helps us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the greatest way God's power is seen in our lives is as we put ourselves in God's control and do what he says. How can people be patient and put up with things? Because they have the power of God unleashed in salvation. How can that person have the courage to face life's issues? They have the power of God that was unleashed in salvation. How can that person be so kind? Look at the way they're treated. How can they be so forgiving? Look what people say. How can they? Because they've trusted Christ as their Savior. And now the power of God that follows salvation is at work in their lives. Look how they are different. That was the comment about the disciples after Christ's resurrection. Who are these people? How can they do these things? They had trusted Christ as their Savior. The power of God and salvation was unleashed. And a life put under God's control is a life that has an immense amount of power. When you live for God, and you live for God openly, so that people can see it, giving him praise and credit, giving him the honor and glory, not hiding it, not being embarrassed about it, or saying it was luck. God's power will make the greatest difference, first in you as you use it, and then second in the power who you meet, the people who you meet who are impacted by its power. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God through salvation. How do we get it? Jesus propitiated us. That unique person gave the unique gift that we all need. We take that gift by trusting it above all others instead of all others, not along with, but instead of all others, as what will give us a relationship with God, freedom from our sin, and unlock that power of Holy Spirit control in our lives. Let's pray. God, help us to be thankful for the unique God-man you have sent to us, your mighty Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to clear our minds for a moment and to be thankful that you gave us that gift of your Son. God, help us as we're thankful about it to not let this be just a passing moment, but God, help us to see what your Son asks of us. Your Son gave us the great commission to go and make disciples, to speak about the work he has done. Your Son has also, our God, told us that he is our Lord, that we should follow his wishes, his example, his words. Father, help us to take advantage of the power we have in Christ Jesus. Help us to see that it is a spiritual power, not a physical one, not one we do because we're smart, not one we do because we're wise, not one that we take advantage of because of who we are in this world. But God, this power is available to us in Christ. Help us to be a people of praise. Help us to be thankful for this great gift. And in a few moments, as we remember his death for us, his propitious gift to us on the cross, help us to leave here honoring him with what we do. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,